Welcome to KUOW's Speakers Forum. I'm your host, John O'Brien. In this web-only episode, 10 days after President Donald Trump's inauguration, a group of Seattle-area artists and arts supporters came together to share experiences and build community. KUOW set aside a space for them to record personal messages. Their reflections expressed the conflict of the moment, marked by fear and hope, uncertainty, and renewed determination. The Great Work Begins event was hosted by KUOW and the Seattle Office of Arts and Culture on January 30th at the Langston Hughes Performing Arts Institute. Please note, these recordings contain some language of an adult nature.
So my confession is that I don't feel like I'm quite as afraid as everyone else around me. And I feel guilty about that. But I feel like there have been some ills in our society that have come to a breaking point for me and have been at that breaking point for quite a while, like years. And I feel like this administration and all the upset it's causing is just bringing to the surface so much that has been wrong for so long. And I'm kind of, I don't know how to say, like, I think that there's something cathartic about that. I think that it's kind of a good thing for us to finally get things to the surface and have to work on so much of the evil that has just been around us and among us that we've been ignoring as we go to our jobs and our parties and get together. And so now we have to deal with all of it and a whole bunch more, unfortunately.
My name is Michael Feldman. I recently went to Israel on my birthright. I am of Jewish origin, and there's this program that offers trips to Israel for people that qualify and who are, you know, of the Jewish faith and what have you. You know, they want to expose people that might not know the culture as well to see it and to get their hands on it, and it's really great. I had an amazing time seeing a different culture, but going to Yad Vashem, which is the Holocaust Museum in Jerusalem, is by far and away one of the most profoundly powerful experiences I've ever had, going through this beautiful building, this very long hallway filled with history of hatred and violence and murder on, you know, the most epic proportions that recent history has to offer us. And I am both comforted by the fact that the Allies won World War II, and we don't degenerate. We try not to degenerate into dehumanizing people enough for mass genocide. Of course, genocides still happen, and it's horrible, horrible, horrible when it does. That people can come into power that are so can dehumanize another people or a group of people so easily. And I mean, living in this country, which I thought was, you know, a safe place for such a long time, it's very scary seeing what's happening and seeing the media being questioned or being challenged by this administration and so many other signs of degenerating and dividing a mass amount of people into hating, into sort of chaos, and, you know, the rise of a fascist dictator. We're not doing enough right because of, you know, what's happening and where we're going. So that's really scary, because it totally happens, and it could happen again.
I'm Chaz Redmond, and I came this evening because I'm interested in not only the intersection of art and society, but art and the human heart. And art is beyond just what you can imagine. It's the culture, it's expression, it's how we humans and actually many, many animals express the joy, if you will, or the liveliness of creation itself. One of the things that I would like to be able to do, I have been extremely fortunate in my life to have worked for NASA and have acquired some amazing skills that has allowed me to, with an incredible salary that I was paid, to acquire equipment which allows me to provide what I call invisible infrastructure, which is a full-up PA system for as many as three live stages for festivals, music festivals, outdoor events, green life events, sustainable activities outdoors, anything that would benefit from the enhancement of an amplified sound system of high quality, managed and provided by me pro bono, with myself and others providing top-notch engineering and musical support, also pro bono, because it's something that we can do to enable people. So again, my name's Chaz Redman. I'm easily Googleable. I ran for city council last year, so you'll catch a lot of this on the internet. Thank you.
My name is Phil Stoiber, and I came tonight to have a new experience. Start the work. I took a black pen and wrote on some green paper that my greatest fear was self-doubt. And I took a little video of it with my camera as it went through the shredder. I put on an orange sticker, my greatest hope is the world wakes up to consciousness. My intention is to really double down on my work in my studio. I feel like it's up to me to really overcome any doubt that I have and do all that I can with what I have. And that may change. What's available to me may change. But it's up. I feel like the responsibility is mine to do what I can.
My name is Robin. I came tonight because artists tend to work alone too much thanks to capitalism, and I'm excited to join with other artists in our responses to what's happening nationally. I'm an elementary school art teacher and a part-time illustrator, and I make comics. And I confess that I'm tempted to just soothe myself and make watercolor paintings of flowers, but then my anger spills out and I have to make art about other things.
I'm Vaughn Thompson Wynn, and I came tonight because I needed something to do. I spend too much time perseverating about what is happening and not enough time thinking about what I can do. The march last night gave me hope, gave me the feeling that I wasn't as alone as maybe I thought I was. I live in Monroe, so it can be somewhat isolating because you live in Monroe, you work elsewhere, you spend a lot of time in your car alone, and not a whole lot of time connecting with people. It's hard to be optimistic when you have five children, one of whom's in the Navy, two of whom are living with their father in Texas, and not knowing what the future holds for any of them. I'm gay, and I don't know what the next weeks or months will bring for me personally from our administration. And so I'm afraid that I'm going to be put in a place to have to make an impossible choice. And I think that overwhelms me and paralyzes me in ways that I wasn't ready for. I mean, my 20-year-old son is in the Navy, and he's not even halfway through his enlistment. What happens if it becomes unsafe for me to stay in this country? Do I leave and possibly leave him behind? Do I leave my two children in Texas behind? Do I take the middle child with me and leave his birth father behind? Where does that leave my daughter, who is an adult? I'm used to having my kids close. I'm used to having them in my life. I'm used to being with them. I don't want to have to choose to be someplace where I might not be able to see them or be with them. And that's an impossible choice. Do I choose to be safe or do I choose to be close?
My name is Linda Levere. The reason I came tonight is to encourage everybody to do whatever it is that they think is going to be helpful so we can all go forward in ways that are comfortable and exciting and helpful to us so that solidarity does happen based on a common vision of living without fear.
Well, my name's Gus, and I work for the Early Music Guild of Seattle. And I want to make sure that everybody knows that the arts are for everyone. Classical music is for everyone. I'm frustrated that people may stay away from our institutions because they'll feel that they belong even less now than before. That's all.
I came here to show support for people in the Arts Foundation and everything that are minorities or who are underrepresented. And even though I am fairly well represented because of my skin color, I think other people of other ethnicities are often not. And I think that is a huge problem in the modern day media. I'm hopeful that the arts community become more diverse and that we can expand our music content and what we're playing, and so it's not only like European music from like the classical era. And I'm scared that because of the election that the arts institution will decrease, and because our president does not see that the Arts Foundation is particularly useful, and that seems to be a common thought among a lot of people, and that's what I'm scared about. My name is Sophie Denhard. I go to Ingram High School. I play the double bass, and I love to do it, and it's what I want to do when I grow up. So yeah, I'm just trying to expand my horizons in every way that I can.
My name's Janessa, and I am a mom and a teacher and an erasure poet, and I like saying that about myself. It's a new identity, and I'm excited to consider myself part of a group of artists wanting to help the world. I am really focusing right now on what white privilege means for me and how it relates to oppression. In a conversation with a really close friend that is younger but a guide for me, I was talking about white privilege, and she was prompting me, and she said something about, do you mean because privilege is a byproduct of oppression? And I had an aha moment at that point that privilege is the intent of oppression. And I'm sitting with that and leaving space for that and trying to understand how that affects my world, my situation, how it's meaningful in a real world context, not just a historical one. And I'm just leaving space for that.
My name is Kathy Scheer, and I am a theater artist. And I guess one of the greatest hopes I have for during this time period is that often the greatest art is born out of the darkest times. And it's been really inspiring. I've been really active in the Black Lives Matter movement for a number of years, Asians for Black Lives Matter. And with everything that's been happening, especially since November, what's been exciting to see is how many friends and colleagues and people from every walk of life, and of course here in Seattle we live in a bubble, but it's been really exciting to actually finally see people passionate and committed and showing up and standing up and speaking out for what they believe in and against what they don't. And a lot of that energy right now, I think, is something that we can all create solidarity around. And just personally, it's been exciting to be able to use that energy and momentum from people that are in my life to move forward on a lot of active, concrete steps, such as creating a racial equity arts lab where we actually gather together and actually work together on positive action during this time as theater artists. And I have another group where there's six of us Asian Americans. A lot of people don't think of Asian Americans automatically when they're thinking about theater-going audiences, but the six of us combined each year see about 1,000 performances. And so we decided this year to kind of highlight the arts theater performances, which is our passion, in Seattle that really stood out because they actually had more diversity on their stages and in terms of the type of programming they're doing. And we decided to actually honor the ones that really stood out for us as a way to, again, highlight positive action that people can take during this time. So for anyone who wants to do something, I know a lot of people ask the question, what can I do? It's just to really start with what is it that you are passionate about and how can you actually amplify and bring greater focus to that passion to really create a positive change around equity and inclusion and diversity.
Hi, my name is Tracy. I'm a visual artist. I'm a painter. Plus, I also work in the tech industry. I'm here tonight because I'm an artist and I see artists, it's kind of our, not our role or our job, but just something that we fall into to act in times like this. I'm very inspired. Some of my first thoughts when we heard the results of the election is I wanted to go down to the South and to these other parts of the country that I guess voted differently than I did, and trying to find, wanted to learn about these people and start this dialogue through my art. And so that's kind of what I've been really thinking about. And I know it would be a bigger project than me and a good one to talk about with people to get the ideas flowing. I'm upset, but I do find relief. And last night I marched, I was around people, I spent a couple hours making a sign, deciding, and then going out with my partner. And that is helping me feel better doing things. I've been personally donating paintings to raise money, to donate to some different causes in Seattle, and of course the ACLU. I'm writing a check to them tomorrow. And I think it's, for me, it's more about action and surrounding myself with people, and because I think a lot of us are in pain or in shock or not, just not even sleeping well, and I think it's a time to act. So that's why I'm here tonight.
I'm worried about my social media presence and what I say, what I like, what I choose to amplify, that will be used against me somehow. And so I've begun silencing myself, and I know that this is the process of how it gets started, of how repression starts. You start policing yourself. I'm also worried about my naturalization application, which I just turned in I'm worried that somehow that will be denied based on everything that's happening. The fact that green card holders are, being detained and not allowed to re-enter the country. The fact that they were asked what their opinions are of Trump and what their social media accounts are. These two things are linked for me about how one participates in life now, in political and civic engagement. And I'm trying to figure out what my place is in all of this.
My name is Kim Kamara. I am the director of Indigenous Placemakers. We provide placemaking and the ability for us to set up ways for Indigenous peoples to represent themselves, who they are culturally, artistically, and otherwise to the rest of the world and where we are now. My vision is to continue to keep providing these things and have the ability to bring in the resources of all different ways and kinds so that we can then keep cultures alive, cultures growing and expanding. Vision is, in order to maintain and keep Native American peoples, of which I am of that category, alive in these times, and if it means taking it over to different countries and setting up programs to preserve traditionally as well as create synchronistic new forms of art and cultural expression, then so be it. I think we need to keep walking forward with proactive action and advocacy. Advocacy is the key. Otherwise, there's a lot that could be blown to the wayside. So, take the fears, join in collaboration, and keep walking forward in good ways. That's where I'm at and what I have to say.
My name is Rhiannon, and I work for a nonprofit organization called Sanctuary Art Center. We're located in the U District, and we've been around since 1999. We serve homeless youth. We are a art and music studio. We have multiple internship programs that provide job training in the arts. And in the last 3 years, we have seen a huge decrease in numbers, not just in our organization, but in all the service provider organizations in the U District. And we've been really trying to get down to the bottom of why we've seen such a huge decrease in numbers. And a large portion of it is the city is kind of pushing homeless youth out, especially in the U District. As gentrification happens, new buildings pop up, business owners don't want people loitering outside of their businesses, and there is no safe spaces for the homeless youth. Meanwhile, there are tons and tons of youth that have become addicted to heroin in the recent years, and other drugs. So my biggest fear is, I know that these homeless youth are not just disappearing. They are just being moved. They're being pushed out of the city. And as the city becomes more of a tech city, more progressive, higher minimum wage, richer people here, we're pushing out the locals, we're pushing out the people that don't have anywhere else to go, that have originally been a safe place for kids to go with lots of services and a rich culture in the art and music scene. So I really hope that all these people who are moving in and all of these major corporations that are in Seattle can do something about the locals and about the people that need help. I know that these youth are really, really amazing, talented youth that have just been the butt of a bad, bad situation or joke. And everything that we can do to help the arts in Seattle and the service organizations and the different nonprofits that just help locally will really, really make a big difference in our culture in the city. So that's really my biggest fear and hope.
My name is Michael. I was born and raised in Seattle. For my day job, I run a small marketing agency with other friends of mine who are under the age of 30. It's really punk rock. It's great. We get to do a lot of work that we love to do and be with each other. Outside of that, I work with my community through street dance, and we try to engage at-risk youth. We try to mentor them and empower them through arts and expression. And yeah, it's an interesting time. It's a crazy time. It's a scary time. And as a person of color myself, son of immigrants, I came into the year already having a full life of self-doubt and self-hatred and, you know, all that stuff that comes with being a person of color in America. And I've been confident in the last few years of my life to deal with that head on and make a beautiful journey out of that. What has happened recently in our country, what's been going on with this new administration, I think has increased the urgency in terms of a lot of issues that have faced our species for a long time, a lack of understanding as the main foundation of each other and how similar we are versus how different we are. And a focus on, a hyper-focus on those differences rather than the similarities. And that frightens me for not only myself, but for the people that I love, for the people that have inspired me, the people I've grown up around, and just the world that I've existed in, which is a really diverse world that has brought me everything from the opportunities I've had professionally and academically to dance that was brought to me. You know, you could trace it all the way back to the Bronx and New York and hip hop and all that. And that's, you know, black and Puerto Rican folks who started that. It's hard to imagine the rhetoric now winning, because that would destroy and shatter everything that has been my reality here in the United States, here just in my life. And then even recently, just being somebody who has, I guess, more or less aligned myself with a side of these issues that are in opposition to them, or opposition to Trump and his administration. I've even seen friendly fire in terms of a lack of understanding even on that side. And an assumption that just because we are against something means that we all see eye to eye. And I think there's still a lot of learning to do. And I even see now the seeds of a misunderstanding even after us getting past this guy. And that really is a very sobering thought, to think that it would be naive to believe that just one person or one political administration is the source of all these issues in our world. Rather, he's a product of something that's been going on for a long time, something systemic, something that's built into us that we as humans have to fight against. I think some primal stuff, some difficult lack of education, lack of understanding of each other, and I think we need to be vigilant in that fight, and not just against this political regime, but also in ourselves as people. And so, yeah, I'm just looking for healing, and I want to be a part of that in the most effective way possible. And yeah, that's where I'm at.
My name is Annalisa Powell. I am currently a student at Garfield High, and I came here today because I think it's really important, especially with all the political drama that's going on, to raise a generation of activists. And it's one of those things where I'm looking around and it's a Monday night, so I don't expect a lot of young people to be here, but there aren't a lot of people from my generation. And I was kind of hoping that there would be more, especially because I think it's really important for all of us to become united and raise our voice for something important. And I really don't want the generation below me to be raised thinking that it's okay to have hatred and discrimination and all of those negative things that are kind of swirling around on news feeds and social media and the news, to be in their minds and their hearts and think it's okay. Like, especially during the election, when there is a video of some school kids, I don't exactly remember the state, but they were chanting "build the wall," and that really struck a chord with me. And now it's really important to make sure that more than ever we are using our voices or our art or whatever medium that people are most comfortable with to say that, hey, this isn't okay, we need to come together and just kind of figure it out and try to have peace, or as close as we can to peace as we can.
I think over the last 8 years, I became a little complacent or comfortable with the political climate in this country, and with the exception of issues like police brutality, I maybe disengaged a little bit with a lot of really important issues, global issues, and now everything happening with the new president and the new administration, you know, has kind of woken me up and a lot of other people up, but a lot of this stuff is not new and didn't happen overnight. And I hope that the lesson that I learned through this, you know, this time of my life is the importance of staying engaged and of paying attention to the things that are going on right in front of us. And my hope for us as a country and as a world is for us to start to practice more empathy and listen to each other, because right now so many people, poor, working class, all different kinds of people, we're at odds. I feel like we're more divided than we've been in a very long time, and we're not looking out for each other or our collective interests, you know, just as humans. And there's only very few people who are benefiting from that, and most of us are all suffering because of that.
Hi, I'm Nell. I'm a playwright. Something that's on my mind is that I just had a conversation with one of my partners earlier today who's also white, and I feel like one of the things that's been really important to me the past, since the election, but also like really since the inauguration, is like really sticking close to our people, whatever they may be, and like holding each other accountable, but also like really telling the people who you love in your life that you love them. And like making food for people has been amazing, like, you know, like getting together and just like having dinner parties, or like texting people out of the blue and just being like, hey, I just want to let you know, like, the world's terrible, but I really love you. And listening to music and like making people coffee and like having, I feel like I've said dinner parties like 2 or 3 times already, but that's really been on my mind right now. I really think I need to plan myself a dinner party over the weekend with a bunch of friends. But like, I feel like a lot of people right now are reacting to the terrible shit that's happening right now, that's always been happening in America, which is good and important and vital and necessary for people to be reacting to it, but also that we really need to make space for, like, to really support each other, and that can be revolutionary, and that a revolution is not a product, and that we really need to be okay with doing small things to help each other out.
My name is Rachel, and I'm an artist.
My name is Danielle, and I'm an artist.
My biggest hope for the upcoming year is to be heartbroken because I've listened well.
My biggest hope for the upcoming year is that it would be okay to be human in all of its power and imperfections.
My biggest fear is that there will be irreparable harm done to people and places.
My biggest fear is that our fears would define our reality so much that we can't see anything outside of it, and that we can't see other people have different realities than we do because of their fear.
And my plan is to not abdicate my responsibility.
And I have absolutely no plan.
But you have hopes and fears.
Just hopes and fears.
I'm Aaron Moore. I am a software engineer and a board member on Freehold Theater and an actor. I realized tonight that I am really seriously afraid that what is going to come of the current politics is another war. And innocent people will die, and the only people that will benefit will be rich people with small hearts. And I don't want to stand by while that happens, so I guess my hope is that we can unify and share our stories and recognize that our enemies are really just people like us, and they have hearts and stories, and I want to build something, and I don't know what. And that's all.
My name is Jose Abaug. I'm an actor, a teaching artist, and a father. This election, this time period has been really hard. Being an artist is hard, but it's really hard to just kind of do what I normally do, just work gig from gig, gig to gig, and just kind of go on my merry way. So just in this time period, I've been seeing people smiling at each other more and trying to connect more, but I really want to see how we use what we do and apply that and get people that are non-artists to join us. I go on marches. I look on the internet and I have conversations there, but I really am really interested to see how we can not just go on marches, but to incorporate art and to teach our children to use art to kind of move us forward and to use it to express yourself if you are unsatisfied with what's going on, whether that's Black Lives Matter, the treatment of people that are different from us. I just really think it's a time that we need to all start talking to each other more and using the skills that we have to invite more people in, to dance with us, to watch what we do, to play with us, to sing with us, to dance with us, to paint with us. So I think it's that time, and I'm really interested to see more people, especially in Seattle with all its changes, all of the different companies moving in, to keep us who we are. We all march, but I would love to see more people get into more artistic endeavors.
Hello, I'm Claudia Castro-Luna, and I'm Seattle's civic poet. This is What Work Is. Ramon crouches under shadow sliver cast by the lamppost at 64th and International. He stares ahead, eyes flickering in the midday yellow stupor like votive candle wicks. I call him Ramon, though I don't really know his name. Julio, Juan, Jesus, Ramon, it could be any of them, none of them, all of them. My father, my brother, my uncle, my cousin, me. Groups of Ramones stand at select corners fishing for work, stand in puddles of bitter and sweet, and in their hearts, mockingbirds sing siesta songs.
I am Susan Fink. I have been in Seattle since 1982, and I am the retired artistic director of the once notorious Alice B. Theater, a gay and lesbian theater for all people. I am joining the national movement started by Holly Hughes, Lois Weaver, and Peggy Shaw. Not my President's Day, February 20th, there will be a national, yes, now international performance event. Not my President's Day, when bad dudes and nasty women take the stage and let their outrage show. You want to be part of it? You need to contact me. Fink, F-I-N-Q-U-E, at uw.edu. Bad dudes, nasty women, we will be on stage with our outrage on February 20th. Not my President's Day. Location, TBA.
Hi. My name is Lucia Neer, and I am a Seattle-based theater artist. I create large-scale public works that transform the civic landscape into participatory dream worlds. I'm interested in inviting audiences into worlds that are sort of beyond consumer culture, beyond the buying and selling of anything, that are gift-based economies, and in cultivating what I like to call cultures of kindness. I think that in this political landscape, we're also, well, I know for me, I it's so easy to feel afraid and powerless, especially in our public spaces. I think that the marches, especially, I was just in Washington for the Women's March, and it gave me so much hope to be surrounded by humanity, by women. And you know, that the what was so amazing about it to me was that, you know, the ratio of women to men was at least 4 to 1. And consequently, the vibe was so kind, and everyone was sweet with each other and taking care of each other. So even when we were in this great herd, this herd moving through space down the mall and towards the White House, I never felt afraid. I always felt that we were protecting each other. And that gave me such a huge boost of hope and of confidence that together, that all together, all of us together can start to think creatively, to come up with new possibilities and paradigms and solutions, that together we can work our way out of this mess and into peaceful, kind society. So this is an invitation to anyone and everyone who would like to be in conversation and creation, anyone who's interested in incubating social change by creating generous, kind culture, even in the most of ephemeral ways. Anyone who's interested in places of refuge and using beauty to generate connections and community. Sending love to all.
My name's Teresa Thuman, and I'm a theater artist here in Seattle. I started a theater company called Sound Theater Company, and we do a range of work. And I'm very scared about where we're headed as a country, and yet I'm so excited to be part of the artist community. I feel that particularly live performance and theater is going to be able to speak to people in a very special way, and we're going to be able to arouse empathy in people who share in that experience, because every single performance is a community that is created. And we need to look at all stories. We need to look and value the stories of all people and all experiences. And through exploring that range, we will also find what we have in common. So I think we need to listen a lot, and we need to learn to ask a lot of questions and not always provide the answers. And I think that there's going to be some amazing art that is going to grow out of this period. I think we could potentially be looking at what I would call a golden age, a modern golden age, because the questions are so deep and they're so important, and people are thinking about things in a new way. And it's not easy, it's hard, and it just feels like there's this openness to explore possibility.
That's it for this gathering of voices from The Great Work Begins, an event sponsored by KUOW and the Seattle Office of Arts and Culture. It took place on January 30th at the Langston Hughes Performing Arts Institute. Thank you to everyone who participated. Tune in again soon.